All right, church, an interesting thing happens here in Mark chapter 12. There's been a series of questions to Jesus, kind of questions against Jesus that we've seen them asking. They come to him asking about taxes to Caesar. The Sadducees come to him asking about the resurrection of the dead. Before that, after he's cleansed the temple, they're by what authority are you doing these things? When they're shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David, you know, tell them to stop, rebuke your disciples. They've been coming at Jesus, these religious leaders of different stripes, for quite a while. And Mark likes to stack his stories one on top of the other and fit a story inside of a story and everything else. So we've seen that. It was the Herodians with the Pharisees asking him, should we pay taxes or not? It was the Sadducees asking about this, the resurrection of the dead we looked at yesterday. And today, though, there's a scribe, and this one is a little bit different. This one stands out different from the others. This one seems like a sincere question, and Jesus gives it a sincere answer, and there's no problem here. So there's something we can learn from this, like directly, straight up. All right, one of the scribes, I'm in Mark 12, starting verse 28. It says, one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? All right, so I'll just take a short little pause there to give you the context in case you're jumping in midstream here. A scribe sees them, it says, disputing with one another. All right, and he comes up and sees that Jesus has answered well. So who is the them that's disputing? Well, the immediate context here is these Sadducees who had come to him with, I just call it a dumb question. And Jesus rebuked this question repeatedly. You don't know the power of God. You don't know the scriptures. You don't know anything. You don't even know the starting point, Sadducees. You don't know what's going on. You don't think there's a life after death. You're missing it completely. And so they're disputing with one another, probably the Sadducees. And my guess is these Herodians and Pharisees that were still there. Remember, Herodians and Pharisees are not naturally good friends with one another. The only reason they're going together is to trap Jesus. And the Sadducees are there, and again, they're not friends with these people either, but they clearly like have some sort of, they're in agreement altogether, we don't like Jesus. The Pharisees, though, still wouldn't hang out with the Sadducees even to join in asking the question, because even the Pharisees knew better than what the Sadducees were up to. But they are disputing with one another. My guess is Pharisees and Sadducees are arguing about the resurrection of the dead. That's what they do. We know this in the book of Acts as well. They're on at a hearing for Paul to try to get him killed or executed or imprisoned or whatever, and they can't help themselves. When these two people see each other, Pharisees and Sadducees, they start fighting to the point of violence in the book of Acts. And it's ridiculous, and it's silly, and it's ridiculous. So they're disputing with one another again here, and a scribe comes along, sees that they're disputing, but Jesus had answered them well, and he says, I'll try a real question. While these silly little fruitcakes can have their little argument all they want, he's got a real question, okay? no offense to fruitcakes. All right. Jesus answered and said, the most important is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, you're right, teacher, you have truly said that he is one and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. So the scribe takes the high road while the Sadducees and Pharisees are fighting and asks a legitimate question, teacher, what's the greatest commandment of them all? Now, it's a legitimate question on one hand, and Jesus answers it legitimately. On the other hand, you know, the Bible is meant to be obeyed, believed and obeyed. Do you understand that? The Bible is meant to be believed. The Bible's meant to be obeyed, not just explained. There is great value in being a teacher and teaching God's word and explaining God's word. Okay, I believe I have the spiritual gift of teaching. I remember the day it happened. I'll tell that story someday. But that in itself is not the entirety of why we are here, just to explain the Bible. This scribe wants an explanation. Hey, what's the greatest commandment? Hey, Jesus, you know, start obeying them. Believe that it's the greatest commandment and then obey it is way better than explaining it. Okay, and that's why Jesus says this guy is close to the kingdom of God. He's still in this academic position where he wants a good explanation. He sees Jesus has answered wisely. So looks like a smart guy. I should ask him a tough question. I want to get a good explanation of this, Jesus. And that's all well and good. It's important. And all, I believe all four Gospels mention the greatest commandment. I should double check that. I'm not sure if John, the Gospel of John, does that. Somebody look it up for me and text me if you happen to know that, or it wouldn't be hard to cross-reference it. But in any case, the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, is well known. Jesus, the Gospels repeat it, and it's important. So we're not going to dismiss this. But look, this scribe sees that Jesus answered wisely, and it's a legitimate question to ask, but you also get the impression that he just wants some answers, some explanations. Because we know that look at what he says in verse 35. We'll get to it tomorrow. Jesus taught in the temple. He said, how can a scribe say that Christ is the son of David? And he's going at the scribes. The Pharisees, the Herodians, the Sadducees are all legitimate targets for Jesus to come at in verse 35. But he goes after the scribes, okay, because they're really interested in the academics. How can a scribe, the scribes teach that Christ is the son of David? Why would they do that? They're so smart. Well, I got a stumper for you. And then in verse 38, beware of the scribes. They like to walk around in long robes and like their greetings in marketplaces. All right. The scribe has a really good question. Jesus says so. And he answers it well, and he tells the guy, you're not far from the kingdom of God. So on one hand, it's good to ask and answer some important questions. But on the other hand, don't just go away because you got a good explanation for it. The Bible's meant to be obeyed and believed, and whether you can explain it or not. You shouldn't have to be a scribe, a guy that just, you know, puts on your reading glasses and has your Bible open at all times, staring at it, cross-referencing everything, and now I have a good explanation for stuff. I'm happy people ask me questions. I'm their pastor. It's part of my job. I should be able to teach Scripture. And so I love it when people ask me questions. I oftentimes will drop what I'm doing to reply to an email when somebody has a Bible question because I just love it. But it's so much more important. Let's start obeying it. All right, enough of that. Let's get into this. Okay, so he says the most important one is this. It's the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, your mind, and strength. All right, and then he gives him a bonus answer. The guy asks for the most important commandment, and Jesus is like, I'll give you the top two. I love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. All right, so he gives them both. The scribe says, oh, teacher, you're right, verse 32, as though the scribe is in any position to like stamp his approval on Jesus. It's funny to me. Now, Jesus likes this guy. Verse 34, Jesus saw that he had answered wisely. He said to him, you're not far from the kingdom of God. But it is funny to me that some scribe would have the audacity to go up to Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, I think you were right. Good job. You got that one right. It's just, you're not far from the kingdom of God, buddy, because you did get it right. I'm glad you recognize that. But you don't get to tell Jesus he's right. You know, Jesus just is right. He gets to tell you if you're right. Okay. anyhow, think about this, though. This is the greatest commandment. And the scribe's like, cool, he answered my question, and I think he answered my question right. I'm excited. Well, what about obeying that command? This is where it really, really matters. If that's the greatest commandment, which it is, and a human being without the power of the Holy Spirit telling him, and without even being a believer yet, we don't know if this guy became a believer later or what, but if this scribe can read his Old Testament and conclude, yep, that's the greatest two commandments, That's just human wisdom. Human understanding can reach that conclusion. Great. Good. Doesn't that make it all the more obvious that we should be humble? Because that's a huge, to obey that? Oh my goodness, it's easy to understand it. A human brain can read the Bible and understand what it means. It's the obeying part that matters, though. It's not the hearers of the law who are justified before God, but the doers. Scribe is a hearer of the law. He reads it, he studies it, he transcribes it, translates it, makes copies of it. Man, these guys knew their stuff, and that's great. But it's not, in itself, it doesn't save, right? Think about this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Just offhand, who do you belong to? Who owns your body? Who owns your brain? Who owns every time your heart thumps and makes a beat? Who owns that? The Lord your God owns that. He owns you. So everything you do, heart, soul, mind, and strength, that's your whole life. That's everything in your life. That's as long as you live. That's all of it. It's in its total entirety, belongs to God. People are coming right now because of the vaccine mandate, talking about, there's a phrase you're hearing a lot. It's called body autonomy or bodily autonomy, meaning I choose my body, my choice, that kind of thing. All right. And on one hand, of course, yes, God gave you a body. He loaned it to you. It's not really yours, though. He loaned it to you to take care of, not to somebody else to tell you what to do, that you have to obey them. You are owned by God himself, and he has loaned you a body with two legs and two arms and a head and whatever. And some people, for whatever reason in God's sovereignty, don't have two arms and two legs. They might have, for some reason, been born without them or whatever else. All right? All that means is they have less responsibility. God didn't. They're not responsible for two arms if they only have one. You're responsible for everything that happens in your body and in your brain and in your heart, soul, mind, strength, and all of it. Those things belong to Jesus. They belong to him as an owner. And he rents them out. He loans them out to you for a period of time, maybe 70 or 80 years or something, or however long. You don't even know how long because they're his. And it's a tenancy at will. As long as the landlord wants you to rent, you get to rent. When the landlord decides time's up, then the time's up. But it belongs to the landlord. You belong to him. Everything you do belongs to him. One thing that means is you don't belong to the government. So no, they don't get to tell you what you have to do with your body. They don't get to. But that's almost a cop-out. Because that, oh, see, now we're in a political zone, and we're just going to say, hey, you don't get to tell me what to do, which is true. They don't. But you don't get to tell you what to do either. You belong to God. And secondly, you belong to your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. You're not your own. You're not, whatever, what did the old philosophers say? No man is an island or whatever. If that's the language you want to use, it works. You belong to God. He owns you. And he tells you to go as much as you care about yourself and as much as you want to put into yourself, that's how much you should be loving your neighbor. All right? Just imagine that. Imagine if instead of saying, oh, that's the greatest commandment, like the scribe, cool, now I know the greatest commandment. That's pretty cool. If that's the greatest commandment, shouldn't we take it seriously? Shouldn't we obey it and believe it? I don't mean just believe it that the Bible says that Jesus said these words. Of course we believe Jesus said those words. Okay, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, cool, answered that question. Check. Got it right. The scribe's going to check my homework assignment. And yep, he got it right. He knows the greatest commandment. No, if you know the greatest commandment, you're going to live it radically differently. And if you know that the second greatest commandment goes with it, that they're tied together, you're going to live radically differently. You're not going to store up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. You're not going to live as though your body
is all that you get. You'll take care of your body. You'll live a healthy lifestyle because it doesn't belong to you. You want to take care of it. If I loan you a tool, I expect you to take care of it, right? And you know that, and that's common knowledge and common understanding. So, yeah, you would, if you knew that your body belonged to God, you would take good care of it. But you wouldn't idolize it. You wouldn't idolize your health. You would lay down your health in a heartbeat if it meant somehow I can serve God or love my neighbor. I would lay down the health right away, right? It means that you would never allow cursing. I belong to God. I'm a temple of God. Would you curse in church? Some people would. You shouldn't. But you shouldn't curse at home either. And you shouldn't curse in your brain either. You should just not do that because you belong to God and your tongue belongs to God. And so on. Complaining, grumbling, gossiping, getting offended by stuff. You only get offended by stuff if you think you belong to you. How dare that person offend me? No, I belong to God. Man, if somebody does something offensive to me, they're offending God, not me. I don't have to take that personally. God is the judge. Vengeance is his. And if I start playing God games where I feel offended and feel the need to jump in on somebody, oh boy, then I'm taking God's place. I'm the guy that really should be nervous in that situation. You belong to God. Let him repay good for good and evil for evil. Let his justice and his mercy rule your life. You don't want to start playing games like you belong to you. That's blasphemy. That's against God. That you somehow are in a position of God in some way. Be really careful about that. All right. And don't just be satisfied with the scribal explanation of Scripture. Jesus answered wisely. Good answer, Jesus. I support you, buddy. You got that one right. Got an A. Don't be satisfied with this explanatory Bible teaching. Let's get to the obedient Bible teaching. If you understand one page of the Bible and obey it, that's way better than if you can explain and understand your Greek and your Hebrew and your Aramaic and your ancient cultures and tell everybody all about it and explain every detail of every page and answer every question and read every study Bible. Every commentary, all that stuff, you know all the answers, but you don't obey it. That makes you a scribe, straight up. A scribe hanging out with Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, and everybody else, pridefully looking around at Jesus to see if he can answer you the way you hope he will or want him to or something else. Don't be like that. Let's be humble. Let's believe and obey. And from that mindset, let's get really good at reading, studying, and explaining it to others, but only in a context of obedience and belief. God bless you. I'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll be farther into this. We'll look at these scribes that I mentioned offhand. See you then.